Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Kathira Aisha Muhammad for Religion Means Alive. Today's date, November the 2nd, 2015. Tonight's topic is Diba, or better known as slandering and backbiting in Islam. First and foremost, I want to give praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to enjoy this day that we had. The weather was very nice. Thinking about it for the beginning of November, weather was awesome here. So alhamdulillah for that. Just thanking Allah for, you know, everything. Just being able to breathe and without the assistance of machines or additional medicines and so forth and so on. You know, these are the things that we should thank Allah for. You know, as I say on every call, from the time we wake up to the time we go to bed, you know, during this time when if you're, you know, in the States and you're along the East Coast, we observe something called Daylight Savings Time, which means we lose an hour. So that makes our prayers come closer together. And, you know, this is also a good time if you still need to make up days that you missed during Ramadan. The days are shorter, so you don't have to fast as long. So this would be a perfect time to make up those days that you would need to do for missing Ramadan. Or, you know, just regular Sunnah Monday and Thursday, you know, fasting. Inshallah, you know, we are able to do that. What promoted me to, prompted me to do this call is because we all, I myself, have done this not intentionally, but as I go back to think about what I asked and what I may have said, you know, I had to go to Allah and ask Allah to forgive me for stating some things that I know I had no business stating, you know, or asking something that I had no business asking. So, you know, we have to be very mindful about what we say out our mouth, because on the day of Yom Kiyamah, our limbs will speak against us and will tell the things that we did. And our tongue is one of the main culprits besides our body, our private part. Those two things are the things that get us in the most trouble. Those things are what will make our scale heavy on the left instead of the right, or the bad will outweigh the good. So, you know, we definitely have to be mindful of our tongues. And not so much so as, you know, I'm definitely talking about slandering, backbiting, but I'm also talking about things that we say out of our mouths just to hurt people in general. Because we know we can. We'll say something that we know will personally hurt this person's feelings, and we say it out our mouth without a moment's regret. We just say it. We just open our mouth. We just say it without, you know, on the whim. We just say what we want to say and not think of, you know, the repercussions of what we said. Before I, you know, start breaking down, you know, the different aspects of slandering and backbiting, I want to make everybody aware that, you know, you can, if you have a comment, question, or concern, you can dial in at 805-727-7013 and press 1 at any time, and I will put you through. You know, there has been some things that have been on social networks that have been, you know, going back and forth. I'm not going to get into the topic because, you know, again, I'm in the Philadelphia area. We know what's been going back and forth, you know, on social networks, things that have happened in the community, and just not that. Something that I see a lot, and I try to be mindful of, you know, people like to make jokes about people, about people's appearance, about their skin tone, color, about their weight, about, you know, their financial situation. You know, these things, you know, and coming from Muslims, it's alarming. I do joke around. I'm not going to lie. I do joke around. But I try to be mindful of some of the things I say. And some of the things I know is wrong. And, you know, I do seek forgiveness from Allah for those things that I've said. But I've seen some things that are very, like, harsh and demeaning, that, you know, we should really take into account for, because, you know, once something is on social network, you can delete it. You can edit it. But we don't know if that person or somebody has screenshot it or forwarded it on to somebody else. We don't know that. And, you know, those type of things could come back to haunt us, and, you know, could jeopardize your job, could jeopardize, you know, any kind of situation. You know, a lot of people, spouses, their family members are on there. And when you say things like this, you know, that's purposely hurting someone's feelings or belittling them, you know, those are things that we should just be mindful of. And especially being Muslim, because, you know, this is something that we're taught that we should be extremely mindful of, you know, making fun of people and, you know, making light of their situation, things like that. And, you know, I had made a post yesterday about saying, you know, I want people to think that I have nothing and I am nothing. And what that lets me know is that I am remaining humble myself. I'm remaining meek myself. If people are spreading lies about me and saying that I'm a bum, I have nothing, alhamdulillah, I want you to continue to think that. Because that means that I'm not going out there and being extravagant. I'm not boasting about what I have, or boasting about the things that I have. And, you know, we have to be mindful, very mindful of these things, because just as fast or just as much as we are blessed to have the things that we have, Allah Azza wa Jal can remove those in the blink of an eye. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen, and I watched it happen. You know, you may think, oh, I got this, I got that. Allah could cause you to lose, you know, your faculties where you can't walk or you can't speak or you lose your job or you suffer some other impairment. Your spouse loses their job. And now all of the pressure is on you to help maintain your home and to take care of your home and to take care of your children. And this is something that you're not used to. So, you know, being Muslim, we should be very mindful of what we speak about out our mouths and be grateful that Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed us with the little things that we have. You know, we may not have all our bills paid. We may not have all the food and things that we need stocked in our refrigerator, so forth and so on. But be grateful that Allah blessed you so much so that you didn't even have to go out there and beg for it. That somebody's begging just to have what you have in your refrigerator. May God, a loaf of bread, some lunch meat, ketchup, a couple of boxes, packs of oodles and noodles, and somebody doesn't have that. Someone's praying just to have that. Someone doesn't have a roof over their head. Yes, your roof may be leaking. You know, you may need to get some things, you know, done in your home, but you have a home. You're not sleeping out on the street. You're not begging no one for anything. So we should continue to be grateful that we have just the things that we have, but we shouldn't downgrade or, you know, point fingers at people who don't have what we have. You know, we should never do that. And, you know, Allah has commanded those who have more to give more. So if, you know, you have all this money and you have this house and you have this car, what are you giving back to the community? What are you doing for the community? You know, I like to call people out on that. What are you doing? What are you contributing besides slandering and backbiting people? What are you contributing other than boasting about what you have? Oh, I have this, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. And there's nothing wrong with doing nice things. There's nothing wrong with enjoying, you know, some time out with your spouse and things like that. But when you want to berate and belittle people, that's where I have a problem with that at. Because some people on here, you know, on social networks, they tend to forget that you know them in real life. You know, people put on this facade for, you know, all these social networks so people can look at them and, you know, they can get likes and, you know, people, you know, want to see who they are and who they want to be and things like that. But, you know, some people know who you really are. And, you know, some people may even call you on it. So, again, be mindful, you know, how you want to degrade people. Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't teach these things. Told us to be humble and, you know, not backbite people because they don't have what you have. Now, there are certain circumstances where it's not slandering, it's not backbiting, that you should tell on someone who would be a detriment or a harm to the community. And, you know, I'll get into those things and I'll elaborate on those things, which makes it permissible to tell or warn people in the community about a person and their actions. Now, some people will say, oh, no, you're not supposed to reveal nobody's sins, or you're not supposed to, you know, backbite. It's not backbiting. It's not backbiting for certain situations. And, you know, some will say, well, it's better that you keep it day of judgment. You would want Allah to, you know, forgive you for the sins. And that's absolutely correct, but if this person is a danger, and I'll get into what I mean by danger. If this person is a fitna for the community and this could put somebody's life in danger or could cause somebody their freedom, it is incumbent upon you to reveal what you know about that person. Just like the situation that happened last week with the sister, you know, that was practicing witchcraft and black magic. You know, that's not something to play around with. And they took that issue to the masjid and addressed it and put it out there. Because this was something she did not conceal. This was something that, you know, was public knowledge. And, you know, some people was like, well, where's the proof? And I say this, trust me, the masjid did their research before doing it. They didn't just take one person's word and go about it and say, oh, well, you know, such and such said this, and, you know, no, they had proof that the sister was doing black magic. And they advised the community to stay away from her, to not associate with her. So that right there is an instance where it's okay to tell someone if you believe wholeheartedly that this person will become a danger to the community. It's incumbent upon you to reveal that information. And it's not a form of slander. So we know that, you know, backbiting is a major sin. And it causes misery, evil, and torment in the world and the hereafter. So, you know, we have to be very careful about these things. backbiting and slandering are forbidden by a law because they sow enmity, evil, discord among people, and lead to destruction. They cause hostilities between people of the same household and between neighbors and relatives. They can decrease in good deeds and increase in evil ones and lead to dishonor of a family. Allah forbids these acts. As he says in the Quran, backbiting and gossiping are from the most vilest, despicable of things, yet the most widely spread among mankind, such that no one is free from it except a few. So that's letting you know right there that this is something that people do. And again, a lot of people do it unintentionally because they do it so frequently that they don't even remember that they're doing it because they do it all the time. Every other word that comes out their mouth is, hey, did you hear about such and such? What was that that went on with such and such? Every other word is something out of their mouth is backbiting or slandering someone. And there's even ways that people go about it and say, oh, this isn't backbiting or slandering. But you have to be careful with the stuff. I'll give you the perfect example. Perfect example is Sister A. I'm just going to label her Sister A. Was sitting down with Sister B. And Sister B said, let's see, like, what was that that happened? Now, Sister B has no clue as to what happened with Sister C, but she knows that Sister A knows what happened. So she's prying her for information. And see, Sister A may unintentionally know, like, you know, to say, oh, well, you know, such and such happened with her. And Sister B keeps digging for it. That's a form of backbiting. It's a form of slander because you don't know what it is that went on, but you're prying into it, and you're digging to find out that information that you really have no business knowing anyway. Sister A should have said from the beginning that, oh, no, I don't do that. No, I'm not revealing what happened to her. If you want to know what happened with her, then, you know, just go to her, you know, directly yourself and ask. And I've done that on plenty of occasions when people come ask me certain things about certain people that I associate with. If you want to know who they are, what they do, and who they're affiliated with, go ask them. Don't ask me. And I do it all the time. I'm not going to assume that this person is doing this or that person is doing this. I mind my business. If you want to know what's going on, go directly to that person and ask them. Backbiting means mentioning something about a person in his absence that he hates to have mentioned, whether it is about his body, his religious characteristics, his worldly affairs, his self, his school appearance, his character, his wealth, his child, his father, his wife or husband, his manner of walking, his smile. It is the same whether you mention it to him with words, through writings, or whether you point it out, indicate it to him by gesturing with your eyes, your hand, or your head. Now, that's deep. That's deep. Because people do that all the time. Oh, look how he walk. Or they make up nicknames, or they give people names for certain things on how, you know, they walk or how they speak. Or, you know, they have a birthmark or something like that that stands out, and people always make fun of that or talk about this behind that person's back when they're not looking. And these would be things that would be hurtful, and nobody would say this to that person's face directly to them while they're standing there. So that's another thing, a characteristic of backbiting, is that these are things that you would not dare say to someone's face. You would not have the gall to say this to that person's face with them standing there with the person you're talking about. So that's something that you should keep in mind. If this is something, if you mention this to something, to something, to someone about this person, think about if it was you. Would you want somebody else to reveal that to someone with you being there? Would you say that? Would you talk about that person directly in their face about what you're saying to someone else? If you would not say it, then don't say it. And that list that I gave, you know, it's deep, his religious characteristics. Okay, I'll give you an example of that. Oh, I always see the brother, you know, he come for Fajr prayer, but I don't see him for Dhuhr or Asr. You don't know if that man is working. You don't know what he's doing. You don't know if he's praying. And unless that brother was openly revealing his sins, saying that he wasn't praying, you can't assume that. You shouldn't even format your lips to utter those words. Because would you like somebody to say, well, brother, I didn't see you all last week praying? That's going to make you feel some type of way, and these are things that we should be mindful of and be very, very cautious of, because again, we don't want to get in the habit of minding other people's business, and basically that's what it is in a nutshell. You don't want to be always minding someone else's business. It's not your business, so learn to mind your business. That's why it's called mind your business. If you have a comment, question, or concern, call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1. And I'll be able to put you through if you have a comment or question. If not, I'm going to continue. And Allah says in the Quran, O you who believe, avoid much suspicion. Indeed, some suspicions are sins. And spy not neither, backbite one another. Would one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? You would hate it, so hate backbiting and fear Allah. Verily, Allah is the one who accepts repentance, most merciful. That's ayat 49, Surah 49, ayat number 12. So, you know, we shouldn't be spying on people. And then it says, Allah strongly forbids backbiting, and he compares the backbiter to the one who eats the flesh of his dead brother. I'm sure that none of us of a dead person, so this is why Allah likens that to that situation. Again, we have to be mindful of these things because we're going to be held accountable for them. I see we have a caller. We have a comment from area code 12-3. I'm going to
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Yes, ma'am. My name is Yusuf Shah, and I'm in the New England area. And sister, your commentary is right on point, because there are a lot of people who are not only backbiting and slandering people, but they're causing marriages to break up by saying things that are not true. Misinformation and disinformation that is being spread throughout the masjid, and it's just shaitan. It is just shaitan, and we have to be able as Muslims, conscious Muslims, to identify when that particular type of stuff comes up and address it. Not address it in a hostile manner. Not address it in a threatening manner, but remind each other of what Allah says in the Holy Quran. This is a religion of peace. The Prophet Muhammad says we're supposed to be brothers and sisters to one another. We're supposed to love for our brother and sister what we love for ourselves. And why would you talk about someone else in a negative way or a derogatory way if you would not want that done to yourself as a brother or a sister? You see, some of us are Muslims, but we have yet to have been completely converted to what Allah and His Messenger have asked us to do as brothers and sisters. If you know what, you just really said it the right way, sister. I really appreciate you for saying what you said. and having this particular program, because this really needs to be addressed. We have brothers and sisters who sincerely accept Islam, but they have not dropped that those behaviors from the world, from outside of what the pillars of the Quran and Sunnah are, like backbiting, you know, like, you know, slander, running around talking about people's things. Look, there were situations where, you know, people were talking to different Muslim brothers and sisters' wives and talking against their husbands.
Right.
You know, and I mean, and how are you supposed to have peace in your home? How are you supposed to have a family in peace under the pillars of the Quran and Sunnah, between the pillars of the Quran and Sunnah, the foundation of the Quran and Sunnah, when you have fitna outside your house and shaitan in the mind of your loved ones coming at you over nonsense?
Right.
You know, jealous of what you have, envious of who you know or what your connections are. You know, when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, it's not about how much money you got. It's not about how slim you are. It's not about how many people you know. It's going to be about your salat and your good deeds and whether Allah wants to give you that which you deserve. And, sister, I just appreciate you. Thank you, sister. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. You're welcome. Okay, so I'll continue going on. You know, again, these are things that we definitely have to be mindful of, because these are things that affect the community and affect, they are affecting our households on a great deal. You know, people not knowing the boundaries of how far they're supposed to take things. And, you know, I've experienced it firsthand. You know, things that were, you know, said about me and things like that. But this is one thing that I can say is, anybody who knows me knows that I have no problem saying what I said to you to somebody's face. I will say it to your face. I have no problem with saying it. And if I'm saying something to you, it's to warn you. It's not to belittle or backbite that person, because if that person was standing here with us, I would say it to their face. I would say it to their face. I have no problem saying it. So if somebody ever came to you and said, I said something about them, you would be able to say, Qadira ain't say that. I know her and I know her character. I know she wouldn't have said that. And it's been times where people question it, and I'm like, no, you need to question who told you that. And then it's like, well, Yeah, you shouldn't even have thought twice about that with me, because that's not who I am. If I'm saying something, I'm saying the truth, and I'll say it to the person's face just as well as I'm telling you. And if I'm telling you something about that person, it's to warn you about that person, not to backbite or slander that person. I'm telling you the 100% truth about that person. So, you know, unless your character speaks for your actions, 99.9% of the time, people want to question it. And people know I'm not the one that would go around doing these type of things. A lot of people come to me in confidence and tell me things that I would never say to anyone else unless I'm asking that person, can I use this information to make people aware, but I will keep your name. And I will try to alter the situation, keep this in confidence. So I do that, but I will ask your permission first to do that, because I do deal with a lot of different issues with people that come to me from the community, and I need to make people aware these are some of the things that are going on in the community, and we need to address these things. You know, like the high rate of STDs, things that's going on, you know, again, these are things that need to be revealed. People need to be warned about certain people in certain situations. Again, if anybody has a comment, question, or concern, you can call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1, and I will put you through. Now I'll go into this. This is because the backbiter is the wrongdoer and his victim is wronged. On the day of resurrection, both the wrongdoer and the wrong will stand before Allah, who is the just judge, and will wrong, and the wrong will appeal to Allah to avenge the wrong done to him. Allah will then give this wrong person from the good deeds of the person who was wrong, him in accordance with what his wrong by backbiting his brother on the day that no father will give his son of any of his good deeds nor his friend to his friend. All will be saying, myself, myself. So, you know, on the day of Yom Kiyama, if Allah didn't forgive you, because you need to make sincere tawbah when you backbite somebody. And you should also go to that person and ask them for their forgiveness. So if you haven't asked for forgiveness from Allah, or you haven't sought that person out to apologize and ask for their forgiveness, on the day of Yom Kiyama, you're going to be held accountable for that. And what's going to happen is the good deeds that you had will go to that person, and the bad deed will continue to be on you. So, I mean, this is a major sin. It's not a minor sin. This is a major sin. This is not like a little white lie. No, it weighs heavy on your scale. And it goes into saying, Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, reported that Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once passed by two graves and said, verily the occupants of the graves are both being tormented, and they are not being tormented for something major. In the report from Al-Bukhari, rather, it is indeed something major. As for the first one, he used to go around spreading gossip. And as for the other, and then he used to not protect himself from his own urine. The scholars say this meaning of, and they are not being tormented for something major, is something major, according to the opinion of something major, for them to have been abandoning doing. Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also said, who protects his tongue from unlawful utterances and his private parts from illegal sexual intercourse, I shall guarantee him entrance to paradise. Also, Abu Musa al-Ashri narrated that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and I asked the messenger of Allah, who is the best Muslim? The messenger of Allah replied, he is the one from whom Muslims are safe from the evil of his tongue and his hand. And Abu Sa'id al-Khudri narrated that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a man wakes up in the morning each day, all parts of the body warn the tongue, saying, fear Allah as regards us, for we are your mercy. If you are upright, we will be upright. And if you are crooked, we become crooked. So Muslims, you should be aware of slipping of your tongues, and do not give it free-handed to wreak havoc on people. And most of everything that I stated can be found in the book in Sahih al-Bukhari under backbiting, ghibah, and its expiation. And that is section 23328 in Bukhari, if you want to use that for reference. So, you know, again, you know, your other body parts, when you wake up, they warn your tongue. Like, be careful today. Be cool. Don't start nothing. You know, let me see here. Okay, the Muslim has to guard his tongue and avoid things that have been forbidden. Among these forbidden things, which people often take lightly, are backbiting, slander, and malicious gossip. Slander means saying something about a Muslim that is not true or in other words, telling lies about him. So, for instance, I'll give you an example. You heard that Sister A lost her job, and now she's collecting welfare. You go around telling people that she lost her job, and, you know, now she's collecting welfare. So you told everybody, oh, yeah, this is where she was all at. Yeah, I seen her down at the welfare office, collecting welfare, this and that. But what you didn't know is that she just got custody of a family member's children, and she was going through the process to find out what their status was as far as, you know, getting things transferred back into her name to help take care of the children. So you just went into the community and told all these lies on this sister. Now, you know, her husband is being looked at because, like, how you got this wife and these kids and your wife is now on welfare and, like, brother, what is you doing? People don't understand how much fitna this causes, not just with the person that you're speaking about, but this affects the whole entire household, the whole entire household in situations like that. Another example of how people like to start fitness. You see a brother who you know is married. You see him picking up a girl. You know that's not his wife. And you like, oh, I don't know. Like, I ain't never, you know, I ain't never see that woman before. And he picking her up. And you go back and you go in the streets or you go on social network. Oh, I see such and such husband picking up such and such, this and that. Come to find out, that's her oldest daughter that lived out of town. That's his wife's oldest daughter that lived out of town, and he was picking her up because she's coming to stay with them for a while. But you then went into the community and slandered this brother's name and bringing that back to his wife, and his wife don't know who he was picking up. And you're like, well, wait a minute here. Who you was picking up? Because, you know, such and such told me that. It causes so much fitna. It causes so much fitna. Oh, such and such, he was married to her, and, oh, now he married to her, this and that, and, yeah, I heard that he ain't taking care of his kids. I don't know what that man doing. You is not a signer on his checking account. So for you to go around spreading these lies because you heard it from someone else, we have to be mindful of these things because the person that you're talking about is not just hurting them. It could be hurting the entire family. Because then it goes to, you know, the husband, like, I don't want you around that sister. You know, she the one that's starting the fitna or whatever like that. And y'all could have been friends growing up for years together. And then, you know, it just escalates because it'll go from, okay, her husband don't want me speaking to her. I don't know why or whatever. You don't know why. You don't know why. Because you just told the whole community that her husband was picking up some strange woman. And the strange woman was his stepdaughter. These are things that people do in the community that are from Jahiliyyah. This stuff has no place in Islam. And people constantly do it. It's haram. It's a major sin to backbite and slander people. This sister, she don't work there. She lying and telling people she worked there. How you know that sister wasn't transferred from another facility to work where she's at? Well, how do you know this isn't her part-time job? You don't know what goes on in these people's houses and homes, in their apartments. You don't know what goes on. And, you know, people, so from, you know, like when I read and when I study, this is something they said. People who talk about other people talk about them to deflect. Listen, to deflect the stuff that's going on in their own home. Be mindful of that. Someone who always gossips, what about you? What goes on with you? Why you're not married? Where are your children? See, people who gossip don't like the finger pointed back at them. They like to always take the deflect off of what the situation is going on in their own home to talk about other people's homes, but their own stuff ain't straight. Their own situation at home isn't straight. But you do that because it's a deficiency somewhere in you. And the deficiency is you letting your mind ramble to your tongue and spewing hate against other Muslims. And this isn't just, you know, Muslim bashing Muslim. This is person bashing anybody. It's not regardless of whether you Muslim or not. You shouldn't be backbiting or slandering no one. You shouldn't be in no one's business. Now, there is a difference, and I'll get into that now. If the person is openly showing their sin, there is no harm in you sharing it. Again, I will say this, and a lot of people will say, oh, no, you should conceal it. If the person is open, I'll give you an example. If the person is openly drinking, posting it on social networks, smoking weed, hugged up with women that's not their wives, or sisters hugged up with brothers who ain't their husbands, and they're openly posting this on social network for everybody to see, if you shared that information, there's no sin on you because that's exactly what they're doing. They're openly sinning, and there's no punishment for you for doing that if you shared that because they have no shame in what they're doing. They have no shame in how they're partaking and doing certain things so out there. It's not like you, like they had a private folder somewhere on their social network for only, like, you know, one or two people to see. This was put on public. So anybody that's on their timeline can see it. They post it. I'm up in the club popping bottles. They showing you rolling up blunt. Oh, I got all this weed. I got these mommies over here. We chilling. If they do that, there's no sin if you share that information. Just trying to get to the court. Let's see here. Okay, it says here, whoever wrongs a person by slandering him, backbiting him, or insulting him, then repents. Allah will accept his repentance. But if the one who was wrong finds out about that, he has the right to settle the score. But if he slandered him or backbite him about him and the person did not hear of that, then there are two views according to the scholars, both of which are narrated from Ahmad. The more correct of which is that he should not tell him that he spoke against him in his absence. It was said that he should rather speak well of him in his absence, just as he spoke badly of him in his absence. And this is Al-Hassan al-Basari said, the expiation for ghibah is to pay for forgiveness for the person about whom you backbit. So say, for instance, one day you said something bad about the brother, like, okay, yeah, I seen him doing this and that. But then 2 days later, you know you had no business saying it. You had absolutely no business saying that. So you say, you know, yeah, that brother, he's a good brother. He really is a good brother. You know, he's always out there with his family. He's helping the community to do positive things, so forth and so on. as they say, you follow up a bad deed with a good deed. And if the brother didn't get wind of it, don't tell him, because it incites anger. Most of the time, when people are backbiting or slandering someone, they're slandering someone that they have a constant communication with or a constant interaction with. You just don't go slandering somebody you don't know or you don't have no regular contact with, because you don't know that person well enough to really backbite them or slander them, unless this is somebody who's putting it on, you know, social network for them to, you know, talk about all the time and, you know, to see down the timeline exactly what's going on all the time. So that's one instance. Teachings in the Quran. Islam teaches the believers to validate their sources and not engage in conjure. Repeatedly in the Quran, Muslims are warned about the sins of the tongue. Do not concern yourself with things about which you have no knowledge. Verily, your hearing, sight, and heart, all of them will be called to account. That's in Quran 17:36. Why do not the believing men and women, whenever such a rumor is heard, think the best of one another and say, this is an obvious falsehood? When you take it up with your tongues, uttering it with your mouth, something of which you have no knowledge, you deem it a light matter, whereas in the sight of God, it is a 24, ayat 12 through 15. O you who believe, if a wicked person comes to you with any news, affirm the truth, lest you harm people unwillingly and afterwards become full of repentance for what you have done. That's Quran 49:6. O you believe, let not some men among you laugh at others. It may be that the latter are better than the former. Again, I said that earlier. When someone constantly degrades and belittles someone, it's a deficiency within themselves that they do this so you will not see that deficiency. I just said that before I even read this. You have to have some kind of low self-esteem to constantly degrade people. And I see this all day long on social networks. Constantly degrading people, making jokes of people. Every post is a joke or a degrading comment about someone. You can't put up not one hadith or one Quranic verse or say something good about what's going on in the community. Nothing. Everything is a joke to degrade and belittle someone. That person has a deficiency which they are not pleased with in yourself, and it's the shaitan that's stirring that, that keeps that going. Keep belittling people. Keep degrading people because it makes you feel good, but you got a deficiency that you need to fix in your own heart. That's why you constantly do it. No person that's happy with themselves and content with themselves constantly talk about other people. Nobody. I don't have no friends, so I don't talk to people about nobody because I don't have nobody to talk to. I limit my interaction with people within the community because there's so much fitness. The times is definitely not like it was when I first took my shahada. You can invite people into your home. You can invite people to different outings. You could, you know, the sisterhood was strong. The brotherhood was strong. Now, we need to meet at a public spot. Because people will try to find any little thing to talk about in their own house ain't straight. And this is what it talks about. It constantly talks about how people degrade people. And if you opened up your closet, not just no skeleton bones would fall out. A whole cemetery would fall out. A whole cemetery would fall out that closet. The pressure is on that closet. And I'm telling you, if somebody even bumped the knob on the door, the whole thousands of skeleton bones would fall out that closet. we have to remember also that Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, sees everything. He knows everything. There is nothing that is concealed from Allah. Whatever is written in your chest, in your heart, in your mind, Allah knows it. So, you know, these are things that how we can help avoid gossip and backbiting. Recognize that nobody is perfect. We're all lacking in some way. Absolutely. I know I'm not perfect. I know I'm not. I will be the first to admit there are some major issues and things that I need to work on personally. I know that. But when I go to the length of attacking someone or belittling them because I know I have some personal issues, my own self to do, why would I go attack somebody for? I mean, that's just me. I wouldn't attack you. I'm going to deal with what I need to deal with first before I go out there and, you know, say anything about anybody. I don't have a right to talk about nobody. Absolutely not. I don't act like I'm pious or nothing. I just don't reveal my sin. There's a difference. I never said I was perfect. And I'm not pious Patty. I have my faults. I definitely have things I need to work on. But I'm not going to go out there and attack someone because of the deficiencies I have within myself. That's something I'm not going to do. And I don't like to see it when Muslims do this to other Muslims. Like, I don't understand it. How does this come to light? I don't understand it. Recognize that Shaitan seeks to fuel doubt and mistrust among the believers. Speak well or keep quiet. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, peace be upon him, that one can greatly beautify himself with two habits, good manners and lengthy silence. On occasions, he said, let the one who believes in Allah and the hereafter utter good words or let him be silent. If you hear a rumor about someone's misfortune, strive for compassion rather than continuing the gossip. Remind others not to gossip, and if they don't listen, walk away. I do that all the time. Sis, I don't want to hear that. I don't want no parts of that. Allah praised such actions in the Quran. If they hear gossip, walk away. That's in Surah 28, Ayat 55. Avoid spying. Spying fools the trades of secrets and misinformation and creates a climate of mistrust. Seek to make excuses for others. If a person does something that you think is wrong in some way, try to think about the issue from the person's point of view. Engage in making excuses for the person. If we do this, we are less likely to dwell on the negative and seek to talk about it with others. So, for example, if you know you've seen Brother B rob the bank, you know he robbed the bank. There's five other Muslims there that also see him rob the bank. I'm going to say that wasn't him. That wasn't Brother B. Mm-mm. He would never do nothing like that. He absolutely would not do nothing like that. The other five Muslims with me should also say, yeah, I don't think that was Brother B. No, that wasn't him. That wasn't him. I really don't think that was him. That's not like him. And I don't think he did that. Maybe he was just running out because he was running late to get on the bus. He needed to hurry up and get to work. Maybe that's why he was running out the bank. Make 70 excuses. Unless they come back on the news and they verify with his fingerprints and everything else, you know, all you can say is, well, you know, Allahu a'lam. I ain't tell nobody that was him. You know, it caught up with him because the law reveals all things. Allah reveals exactly what needs to be revealed and keeps hitting what exactly needs to be kept hitting. Now, these are the exceptions, and I know a lot of people wanted to hear the exceptions when it is permissible to tell of a situation that something that you know somebody did or is doing, these are the exceptions to the rules on that. And before I get into those, just want to make everybody aware if they want to, you know, call in or they have a question, comment, concern, you can call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1, and I'll hear your question. Got a lot of people on the call today. I'm good a lot. So these are the there may be situations in which a story must be shared, even if it may be hurtful. Muslim scholars have outlined 6 situations in which one is justified in sharing gossip. I hope y'all taking notes on this. You know, if you want these 6 exceptions, you can inbox me, and what I'll do is I can get those to you. I can get those to you. I can share the information that I have. So these are the 6. These are the 6. When making a complaint to a judge about an injustice that has been done, in order for one to reclaim his or her right. Now, I'll give you an example of that. If you live in an apartment building and the landlord is Muslim, and you have asked them several times to please fix these things that may be detrimental to your health, like you got mold growing in the apartment, and, you know, or there's a busted sewer line in the basement that needs to be fixed. And you've warned the landlord, like you tried to be patient with them because they are Muslim, and you're thinking in your head, like, Muslims don't do this. Muslims wouldn't treat another Muslim like this. You're paying your rent on time. You're doing everything in accordance to what's correct as far as, you know, your legal rights. But your landlord will not fix the problem. Your child is now getting, you know, having respiratory infections and things of that nature, and it's affecting your child's health or it's affecting your health. In that situation, you have the right to divulge to the court that your landlord is not fixing these problems and you're suffering health problems with it. Your kids are suffering or it's causing other, you know, health problems for you. In an instance like that, you have the right to speak against that Muslim. You have a right to. The next one is to seek help which will prevent a person from continuing to commit a certain sin. This one right here, the example is, you know that this person has a sexually transmitted disease that is incurable. You know that this person has this disease. You may have been married to this person. And you know that this person is seeking to marry someone and they're not divulging that information because they refused to divulge it to you until it was too late and you turned up positive with the STD. You have a right as a Muslim to speak out against that person so that the next person doesn't contract that STD. You have a right to tell the community that this person has a sexually transmitted disease. They need to know. Because if somebody would have stood up and feared Allah and told you that this person had this disease, because this person is known throughout the community for going around spreading this disease but not disclosing it. You have a right as a Muslim to another Muslim tell that person is spreading that disease. That's a right. There is no sin on you if you expose that person in that situation. The third one, to seek advice from a Muslim scholar about whether a particular action is allowed or disallowed. In this case, one may mention a certain situation without giving names in order to obtain a judgment on the matter. So you say, as we have probably all done, hypothetically speaking, if such and such happened, what should I do? And again, you're not naming no names, but you're giving an actual live situation so that you can get the correct information on how to proceed with whatever the scholar or student of knowledge divulges to you. So if they say, oh, no, this is something, this is a matter that needs to be taken care of, and this needs to be revealed, then you do what they say. If they say, no, this is not a matter that should be revealed, you know, address the person to see if they, you know, will reconcile their situation and not do it again, then you take that course of action. Exceptions to identify a particular person. So you know that she is getting married, and he's from out of state, but you lived in the other state, and you know that this brother was a convicted sex offender in that other state. But the sister doesn't know that because she doesn't know his real name. She only knows his Islamic name. But you know his, you know him personally. Y'all actually went to school together in another state, and you know his name. You know what he's convicted of. It is your duty as a Muslim to protect not only that sister, her children. So in that situation, it is okay to reveal that. Person has been convicted of that crime. That is something that should be revealed to the sister. And most likely she wouldn't let that person come around her children because he shouldn't even be around children anyway. That should send off a red flag that he didn't register in the new state he's in, and he didn't reveal that. So why is he there, and why hasn't he divulged this information? Because that sister could lose her children. That sister could lose the rights to her children because she didn't know that he was a convicted sex offender in another state. And she let this man come around her children, and he shouldn't have access to no children under the age of 18. You have a duty as a Muslim to reveal that information to her, to let her know that this is the situation and this is what happened and this is who he is. Now, you can take it and you can run with it how you want to run with it, but I warned you about this brother. We have to be mindful of things like this because these are things that we would want to know if somebody knew them about somebody we were, you know, involved with or interacting with. Same thing with a business deal. You know that this person that went to 10 different states and is running a money scam on the Muslims, taking money and doing whatever. Now, the state that they're doing it in currently, nobody knows this person but you, because you was in another state that this happened in. It is your duty as a Muslim to warn these people about that person's activity. They have been convicted. They have done this in 5 different other communities. And let the community address that with that person. Who are you? Where did you come from? What is this that the people are talking about? And if the person is true, they will have proof to back up that they've never been arrested, they never committed these crimes, so forth and so on. And then people will look at you like, okay, where did you get that information from? So, you know, we have to be considerate when we're taking these courses of action. We got to make sure we can back up what we're saying and not just going off of, oh, another brother said that. No, you need to confirm that. You can't go off of hearsay with situations like this where you're exposing someone in these type of situations, because 9 times out of 10, it's not something light that this person is being exposed for. This is not something, you know, oh, you know, they ain't pay a traffic ticket. what people are exposing people for. It's definitely something that people should be concerned about. Next is, if someone publicly declares this sin openly, there is no harm in speaking about it. As I stated, the person's out there doing whatever, blasting it on social network. You know, you see them out in the street. They see the Muslims. They don't care. They just doing whatever they want to do. If you say something about that person and their activities, there's no sin on it because they openly say it. They openly do it. But what you can't do is add something to that that you don't know that they openly reveal. Like, you may say, okay, I'm going to give you an example. I've seen brother such and such with all these sisters. He fornicated with all these sisters. No, you can't say he's fornicating with these sisters. All you can say is that he keeps the company of females that he's not married to. Because you're not there if he's having sexual intercourse with these women. So you can't say that. You can just say that he has the company of a lot of different women, which is public now because he shows this. He shows this on social networks, him hugged up with females in the clubs and doing all other kinds of things in the club. And he posts these pictures on social networks. You can't go back and say, oh, he's sleeping with all these women and he's doing it. You can't say that because you're not there, and you need witnesses for that. Again, what you can say is that he keeps the company of a lot of women that aren't his wife, and they're in compromising positions, which is true because he posted it. So, again, we have to be mindful of what we're revealing and not to add to it. Last is to warn others about a certain person. For example, it is an obligation for us to warn others about a person who is known to cheat or steal. I just said that before I even read that. If you know this person is a known thief, they've been locked up several times. They've even been, you know, chastised within the community about stealing or conning people or doing con games and so forth and so on, taking money from the Muslims and doing different things. It is an obligation on you as a Muslim to reveal that. It says, the law says in the Quran what means and why, when you heard it, did you not say, it is not for us to speak of this. Exalted are you, O Allah. There is a greater great slander. That's Quran 24:16. So I'm going to see if anybody has any comments, questions, or concerns. Again, you can call in 805-727-7013 and press 1. If not, I'm going to get ready to conclude the call. This was important, you know, because like I said, we all have done things and said things that we shouldn't have said or we shouldn't have involved ourselves in. And this is just a reminder, not only to the listeners on the phone, but to myself as well, to be mindful of these things, that we are going to be held accountable from Allah for what we did. And, you know, with social networks, you know, things spread so fast. Like, things spread so extremely fast about what goes on in the community that it's not something that's sheltered anymore. Before, it used to take weeks and days and months for, you know, rumors and things to spread. Within 5 minutes, over 1 million people will know what you did. So, again, we have to be mindful about the things that we are stating. We have to be sure that these are appropriate things to reveal. We have to make sure that we're not adding things onto what is being said. And we have to, you know, if we can't validate it or you know, we don't see it, witness it with our eyes or hear it with our ears, we shouldn't say it. So on that note, I'm going to, you know, conclude the call. I thank the Lord Spinner with the Allah for giving me, you know, the energy to speak on a topic like this, because this is something that's very important, you know, to the community, to myself again, to the listeners. You know, this is something that needed to be addressed. This is something that, you know, people need to hear. That, you know, this is something serious. It's not a minor sin. It's a major sin. You know, so, again, I thank all the listeners for joining me tonight on Religion Means Alive. Tonight's topic was Giba, slandering and backbiting in Islam. If you need to reach me, if you have a comment, question, or concern, a show topic, something you want to, you know, an event that's going on in your neighborhood that you want to promote on the show, feel free to give me a call at 610-836-2120. You can send me an email at qamrma@gmail.com, or you can inbox me or direct message me. I'm on all social networks. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Path, Twitter, Google Talk. So any of those means, you can get the word out to me. Again, if you have a bit or something going on that you think would be, you know, good for the show to air, feel free to contact me. You know, I'll review that with you, and I would be happy to have you on the show as a guest, inshallah. So, again, I thank everybody for, you know, calling in tonight, taking your time out of your busy schedule to listen to the show tonight. Assalamu alaikum, and have a good evening.